And we're back here on Sports 360 Ice Knights Insider, where we're going to be having ourselves a very special guest calling in from the USCHO, Tim Costello. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Great. Thanks for the invite. Nice to be talking to some SUNYAC playoff hockey here.
Absolutely. We are absolutely happy to have you. But we'll just start by just saying, as we say before, your name is Tim Costello. And can you just quickly go through what your current title is and the media outlet that you currently work for?
Sure. Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm a proud writer for U.S. College Hockey Online, USCHO. It's been around over 20 years, and I've been with them for the last 17 or so, covering D2 and D3 hockey in New England. So I've been lucky enough to do that, and you know, the site is a great site for all divisions of hockey, men and women's. You know, a number of us have been there, been around for a long time, and accordingly have some, you know, terrific relationships with the coaches and ADs and SIDs in the area, and you know, particularly with programs in the different conferences. So you know, it's a great website if anybody in your listening audience hasn't had the chance to check it out. I highly recommend it. It's pretty much a one-stop shop for anything about college hockey.
That is actually very good to hear. And you said you focus mostly on Division II and Division III in the New England area. And what exactly is the relative area that you guys in the USHO might call the New England area?
New England's probably a misnomer, so I can keep the new part and include New York, but now with Pennsylvania, Maryland, so many other locations coming online with programs, essentially, as the NCAA describes it, anything in the East I cover. So that's seven conferences, which includes the SUNYAC, it includes the UCHC, it includes the NESCAC conference, the NEHC, the CCC, MASCAC, and I also cover the NE10, which is a Division II conference.
And we just want to transition a little bit, just talking about what is it that the USHO as a whole does as an entire website?
Yep. So USCHO is, as I mentioned before, it's really a one-stop shop for college hockey. We don't do anything else. We only cover college hockey. You know, we have specific writers and teams of writers for the different divisions, for men's versus women's in the D3 group. I work with a guy, a partner in the West, that covers the Western conferences for USCHO. And basically everything from podcasts to weekly columns to game predictions to goings-on in the league, departures from schools, transfers, awards, anything related to college hockey, our site covers it, and in depth like nobody else does. So we do get into the playoffs. We cover the Division III Frozen Four. We do a lot of things that other sites don't have the bandwidth to do, and we've been committed to it for a long time. I think that's the other thing where a lot of sites have come and gone or put a focus only on Division I. Our leadership and management of U.S. College Hockey Online has been committed to making sure that we've got quality material out for Division III, and that we're you know, supporting for that level of hockey at the college level in the United States.
D1 obviously is always highlighted, but with D3 hockey players getting drafted with more and more regularity to the NHL and the level of play increasing, it's always great to see any organization highlight on them as well. But then I would like to get into a more specific part, something that applies to our position more here at Geneseo, talking about the college rankings. So Geneseo has been solidified in that top three since almost the beginning of the year. They're currently sitting at number two. What kind of factors do you look into when you're ranking them by points? Because, of course, records can always be deceiving. It's always hard to rate teams in terms of their difficulty of schedule.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's there's a couple things that actually also have an impact with NCAA tournament selection, which is a hot button for D3 in general. First of all, I am one of the voters. I do have a vote based on the fact that I have the opportunity to see a lot of these teams, see a lot of these games, either in person or online. Unfortunately, more online than I'd like to. It's kind of hard to cover that big a geography and see all the teams involved. But the voting group is made up of coaches from the D3 ranks, with a proportional distribution for the number of schools that are east and west. So it's somewhere upwards of 30 people, I believe, that vote. And there's a formula based on how you vote for your top 15, how many points each of those positions is worth. And that's how, you know, it's calculated overall. So is there some regional bias that occurs between East and West? Absolutely. There's no question. How often do guys in the East get to see teams in the West? More frequently now, frankly, than in the past, because you're starting to see much more interregional play or Western teams coming to play in Eastern tournaments or vice versa. Teams like Utica went out and played Adrian twice this year, early in the year. That was a pretty good barometer on where both those teams were at the time. So there are some benchmarks that we can use to take a look at, not only related to strength of schedule, but you know how they're doing on a weekly basis, where they stand in their league, how their league's doing overall from a non-conference schedule and how they're performing. So case in point, I'll give you an example in MASCAC. Plymouth State is first place in that league, and they were 0-7 in their non-conference schedule against teams like Oswego and Buffalo State and a number of other of those teams. So they may be a first-place team in their conference, but they're not in the top 15 teams in the country, you know, because their performance comparatively is not nearly as good as what you see from teams like Geneseo or Norwich or Hobart or you know, even Oswego's not even in the top 15 based on having a very difficult first half of the year. So I think the people are pretty pragmatic about their votes. You know, Geneseo's been a top five team all year, and you know they've earned that. You know, they've obviously got a very good record, and they're right up there with Norwich and Utica, and you know probably Wisconsin Superior, or Eau Claire.
And with that being said, talking about the power rankings and online or in person, what have you seen aside from, you know, the record about the way that maybe it's the way that Genesee has played, maybe it's the way that Coach Schultz has set up this organization, but what is it that you've seen in your many years of reporting and covering college hockey that makes Genesee such a strong team that helps them get into that top three spot seemingly all year long?
Well, that's a great question. I think, first of all, Chris, you got a great coach at Geneseo. Chris has done a phenomenal job. If you look at, you know, this group of seniors, they're probably the most decorated group of seniors to come through the program. They've been to a couple of Frozen Fours. They've won 3 regular season conference championships in a row, and then, you know, now they're shooting for, you know, number 4 this year. You know, the consistency has been there, and you know, they're not every school has that ability to, you know, reload rather than retool, to use a recruiting term. Geneseo is one of those teams that even when you lose great players over time, you know, last year's goaltender McDonald, who set the NCAA record for shutouts, this year you've got, you know, a freshman and a senior that have come in and done a very good job. You know, the focus on the team was, you know, the strength up front with forwards and the, you know, the group of 4 with, you know, well over 100 points in their careers at Geneseo. The back end's been very good, and I think the coaching staff manages that, you know, that program that way. You know, you can say the same things about Gary Heenan at Utica or Cam Ellsworth, who, you know, has taken over at Norwich from Mike McShane, who built a great program there in the consistency. You got kids that want to go there. You got kids that want to play there. It makes it a little bit easier to, you know, to get the right kids into your program and the culture that you have. And I think that's where coaches like Chris Schultz and a couple of the other guys I mentioned are ahead of the curve and do a great job in bringing the right kids to the right school. And yes, they have talent. Yes, they have ability, but they fit a culture and they fit, a style of play that he really wants to play, you know, an up-tempo game, you know, strong in the defensive end, transferring, transitioning the puck quickly, and having creative people up front that can obviously score goals and create scoring opportunities. So, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all for every school, but you've clearly got a situation in Geneseo where it works quite well for the coaching staff there, and that's all under the direction of Chris. And I think he's one of the, you guys are blessed to have one of the best in the country there.
So I want to transition into the main reason why we called you in here today and asked you to interview with us, which is to talk about the SUNYAC tournament, which are tonight, and they are going to be, it's going to be a very competitive tournament. A lot of the coaches and players that we have talked to, they have said that the SUNYAC is arguably one of the best conferences in all of Division III hockey. It's been a conference where a lot of the matchups have been absolute dogfights, and a lot of these teams are basically giving it everything they've got. So from your opinion, and from seeing all the other conferences as well, how would you sum up the overall play quality that the entirety of the SUNYAC has to bring? And what is it that you see about, just as a whole, the SUNYAC conferences, as well as the last six teams remaining, including Potsdam, Buff State, Plattsburgh, Brockport, Oswego, and Geneseo, that help them stand out over some of the other teams possibly in Division III hockey?
So lots to consider in the multiple questions there. So SUNYAC is without question amongst the best, you know, program or conferences in D3 hockey, no doubt about that. I would say top to bottom, they're pretty much up there with what I would say the NEHC, which is has got some incredible depth when you look at Norwich, Babson, Hobart, New England College, UMass Boston, similar type programs to the SUNYAC schools that have had, you know, good successes over the years. And then the NESCAC conference is pretty deep too. I would say that, you know, you're no surprise at who your top six are in. Obviously the top two, I think most people expected to see a Geneseo Oswego, you know, pick who's one, pick who's two. Oswego season, I'm sure, didn't go quite the way they wanted it, although they've kind of righted the ship in the second half here. But Geneseo's has, and so no surprise that they've got the bye. When you look at Brockport, when you look at Buff State, when you look at Plattsburgh and Potsdam, anybody could win these. I mean, literally, I think it's there's a couple of teams that are a little better at home than away. Of the matchups, I think only one team split the season series. I think Buff State split with Potsdam, ironically each winning on the road. But, you know, you look for who's hot. And right now, a lot of those teams are coming off a weekend loss. Potsdam lost to Canton. Brockport obviously lost to Geneseo. The team that's on a roll right now that could be scary, especially with a guy like Jimmy Parader in goal, is Plattsburgh. If they figured it out, you know, I could see them knocking off Brockport for sure. And that would put them in a spot where, they could be playing Oswego. Depending on how the other game goes, they could be playing Geneseo. But I think that's the team that most people, I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago they were in last place and hadn't had a two-game winning streak all season. They win their last three, jump up into the fifth spot ahead of Potsdam. And, they're going to have a tough one with Brockport, but I think that that's a winnable game for Plattsburgh, and I think if that senior group has got that team focused in the right direction, they could make a SUNYAC run.
Speaking of the SUNYAC run, you definitely mentioned Jimmy Parida and that Plattsburgh team, especially considering how Plattsburgh was one of the two teams in the entirety of the SUNYAC who has given Geneseo much of a fit. I mean, Oswego, they kept it close with Geneseo in their most recent matchup about 2.5 weeks ago. However, Buff State did give Geneseo a loss early in the year, and both matchups versus Plattsburgh were ties. And just go into a little bit more in-depth, I'm sure you watched both of the games, at least to some capacity, of why Plattsburgh has been just an absolute Well, they've been giving Genesee a little bit of trouble, especially considering the two regular season matchups.
So, you know, I think, first of all, Steve Moffitt's a very good coach, and Steve has taken over from Bob Emery, who's been around an awful long time at Plattsburgh. Steve was actually his assistant for a number of years before he left to be the head coach at Castleton for a few years, and then came back again as an assistant, and obviously knowing that at some point that Bob was going to retire. And so from continuity standpoint, there's a lot of invested knowledge about that program there, and Steve's done a great job recruiting to fill that style of play. And he, you know, he's been involved with, you know, that group, and not only the upperclassmen, but this year's freshman group, and they were very young when they started the season. So, you know, most freshmen, they it takes a while to assimilate and learn the college game and the expectations of what that means and level of competition and all that stuff. You know, I think they give. They give Geneseo problems because they're very solid in goal. Jimmy Parada is clearly one of the elite goaltenders, not only in the conference but probably the country, and he's done it for, you know, a long time there. So he's not. It's hard to get him rattled, and so he can cover up a lot of mistakes that younger players will make. But I think the style of play, you know, Plattsburgh can skate with anybody. They like to be physical. They like a puck possession game, and if you don't have it, it's kind of hard to score against them. And rivalry games, you know, that's a rivalry that's baked in, right? That, you know, those two teams have gone at each other in big games, important games, championship kind of games for a number of years now, and you don't forget those. And so, you know, I think, you know, your upperclassmen emphasize the importance of, yeah, we're not playing, you know, Morrisville tonight. We're playing Geneseo, and that means a different level. I mean, I know you're committed to playing 100% every game, but if you got 110 in the tank tonight, we need it because it's Geneseo. And so I think the rivalry tends to bring out the best in both teams. And it's always a very competitive game. Doesn't matter whether it's in Geneseo or at Plattsburgh. I think both of those teams get up for each other.
Speaking of rivalry games, which I think is actually a perfect transition to my next point, Oswego. We cannot talk about Geneseo rivals without talking about Oswego. Geneseo, they swept the season series. Both myself and Sam were at the second Oswego game back in February the 9th. And that game, we've described it many times simply as a nail-biter, knowing head coach Ed Gosek and that Laker team know how competitive it is when playing Geneseo. So just from your standpoint and what you've seen, especially as of late, Geneseo, they were able to, it was a one-goal game in the conference game last year. This past game, it was a one-goal game plus an empty netter. Talk about just the rivalry not only developing between Geneseo and Plattsburgh, however, between Oswego and Geneseo as well.
Yeah, I think that's been the bigger rivalry lately, right? Because, you know, Oswego's had some very good teams the last couple of years. They're a senior-laden team this year. I think they've got 11 or 12 that have been with that program for a while. When you look at guys like, you know, Josh Zizek and Michael Gillespie, you know, David Richer, you know, the goaltender who actually seems to have been supplanted by Koskowski the last few games here. I look at the rivalry this year, and frankly, you know, I talked to Coach Gosek after the first game, and 9-1 in your barn and 7 power play goals for Geneseo, and he was embarrassed. And I think, you know, the sign of a good team in general is how they bounce back and how they, you know, recover from a really bad outing. And he'd be the first one to tell you that they were very undisciplined, that their penalty kill was horrible, that they really made bad decisions with the puck. And every time they made a bad decision, Geneseo turned it into a goal. So I'm not surprised the second game was closer, particularly in their own barn, that it would have been better because, you know, the motivation was they weren't going to lose 9-1 again. No matter how good your team is, they were not going to go out and give up 7 power play goals. They were going to play better hockey, and they have down the stretch. I think, in general, been a better team in the second half. They had certainly some problems figuring some things out early in the year, but you know they're 8-1-1 in their last 10. And you know they're scoring goals, and more importantly, they're committed to the defensive end, which is something their coach wanted them to do. They, you know, kind of felt like they were, you know, a fly high offense, and they could win every game because they could score a lot of goals, and that wasn't happening. They've made a commitment to the defensive end, and I think you saw how tough that game was, you know, back in early February in the 5-3 game, because Oswego is recommitted to the defensive end, and it's working for them. The goaltending change seems to have helped them as well, and they're a legitimate threat. This is the last hurrah for a team of 11 seniors that have never won a SUNYAC championship. They'll be motivated no matter who they play this weekend in the semis, and then, you know, if they make it to the final, they'll be a tough out.
Switching back to talking about Geneseo, they have been absolutely dominant over the last two seasons at home, and I do not think that there's any denying that. I believe it's only one loss over the last almost two full seasons. Well, talk about how that has an impact. Coming in the SUNYACs, where they have home ice clinched throughout, and do you think that any of these teams can really come into the IRS Wilson Ice Arena and be able to come out with a win when they've just looked absolutely impeccable in their own barn?
Well, it's hard. They have a home loss this year, not conference, but they Williams came in and beat them in December. So my point is that it can happen, right? I mean, it's not, nobody's bulletproof, and you know every team aspires to have a home ice advantage like Geneseo does. The thing about a home ice advantage is that you got to go out and execute it, and you can't just go out and lay an egg and expect it because you're the home team, you're going to win. And they never play that way. They come and play like you're in our place, and we're going to show you why it's a bad idea for you to play us here, because we're gonna take it to you. And that's, you know, part of the atmosphere that's been built there. The crowd's great. You know, the team is dominant there. They make it very difficult for other teams to play there. They tend to jump on teams quickly. I firmly believe it's a big advantage that they have home ice without question, because they have demonstrated that they know how to use that and make it, you know, another intangible that works to their benefit in a one-game tournament where it's, you know, win or go home. They're happy to be home because the odds of them getting to the next game are that much better because of their dominance there.
And just two quick questions. So going outside of the SUNYAC and looking across D3 hockey, in the top 15, what do you think is the most underrated team currently sitting within that? And then looking across D3 hockey, or maybe just in the SUNYAC, who do you think is the most underrated player that pops into your mind?
Wow. Two good questions. So let's go with the team first. So I think from an underrated standpoint, wow, that's tough. I think the one that I think caused, and you, I just brought up the one home loss, right? Williams is a team that I think doesn't really quite get the recognition that they deserve. They're a very good team, and obviously the number one seed in the NESCAC tournament coming up over Trinity, which everybody has had. You know, they were a top five team before they even stepped on the ice, you know, in November 1st, or you know, their first game in the middle of November. But I think Williams is really underrated in that regard. And then, you know, I know the CCC doesn't get a lot of love. The University of New England's a very good hockey team as well. And they've got some talent there that has had a very good year. You know, I think those two teams stick out as kind of being underrated in the group of 15 overall. Underrated players, that's a little more challenging because I think there are a lot of very good players that you know, probably don't get the recognition that they deserve. But I can think of a couple of guys on Geneseo. You know, you've got the Romanos and the Keenans and the MPs, and I think they tend to get a lot of attention in general. But you know, I think of a guy like Cam Russell that probably doesn't. You know, he's a tremendous asset on the blue line for Coach Schultz's team. probably doesn't get a lot of recognition. And then you got, you know, guys like Dan Bosio. You know, the it's not always the top six guys that that make significant contributions to the success of the team. It's it's sometimes the bottom six that need to chip in, especially in playoff time, where there's going to be a focus on those first line guys and really making sure you don't want a power play hurt you. That you need some secondary scoring, and those are those kind of unsung guys that you don't see necessarily ton of production on the score sheet, but it comes at the right time and when the team needs it the most. And Bosio kind of sticks out as one of those guys. He's got over 20 points, between he and Carson Kelly, there are a couple of guys that, if I'm an opposing team, I'm a little worried about the depth that Geneseo brings.
And speaking of the depth of Geneseo, and we brought up a little bit Oswego having their depth too, considering the amount of upperclassmen leadership, do you personally see the Suniac as a two-team race, or do you think it is a complete toss-up and it's anybody's game at this point?
Well, I'm probably not going to make any friends with some of the other coaches. I don't see it as a two-team race, but I don't see it as a six-team race either. I think it would be highly unlikely that a Potsdam or even a Buffalo State will upset their way to the finals. I legitimately think it could be a three team. Obviously, there's going to be four teams in the semis. I think whoever goes to Geneseo is going to have a battle on their hands and probably playing as a big underdog. But as I said a little bit earlier, the team that worries me is a team that didn't have a two-game winning streak virtually all season, and the last 2 weeks basically won their way into fifth place, has a three-game win streak and contributions up and down the lineup. It seems like Plattsburgh figured out their game, obviously at the latest possible hour, but they're showing signs that they could get on a run here. And, as I mentioned earlier as well, they're one of the few teams that isn't coming off a loss. And is coming in on a high, so I think momentum has a lot to do with playoff success. And right now, I kind of see it as a three-team race between Geneseo, Oswego, and a very dangerous Plattsburgh team.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Alba. Are you willing to put your name and your face out there and make an official prediction on who's going to win the tournament, or would you rather see how things play out and see how things go game to game?
I have to do it every week anyway, so I mean I'll be putting up my semifinal predictions for this weekend, and yes, I believe Geneseo will be advancing to the conference championship, and not sure who that's going to be against. I'll have to see what happens on Wednesday and see whether or not my hunch on Plattsburgh's right in terms of them moving on. Right now, if I were a betting man, home ice advantage. Great senior class, a very focused team, a very focused coaching staff, proven reliability in goal, which I think was a question mark to start the season, and a good decor. I think Geneseo is going to be very difficult to beat for the Suniac championship, and I think this team really has a chip in their shoulder about getting back to the Frozen Four and getting beyond that semifinal game and having a chance to play for a national title.
Thank you very much, Tim, for coming and speaking with us today, and thank you very much for a great interview.
Well, hey, thanks for the time, guys, and enjoy the tournament, and best of luck to the Knights.
Thank you very much, Tim, and we hope whatever coverage is coming up is going to be a good watch for you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.